Welcome to the Crossroads Idaho podcast. We exist to equip and mobilize people to live the life and mission of Jesus so that we see our valley awakened and transformed by the love of God.
And as we were just thinking and praying about what we were going to preach on this morning, we were actually in Wyoming hunting this week. We had a really fun week, and we were just have been praying, and we had an idea. And then as we were just spending time in the Word together, we were like, hey, our team follows the Moravian text, which is just simply a reading Bible plan that has an Old Testament, a proverb, and a New Testament every day. And we follow this reading plan. You can get through the Bible in 2 years. And so we just looked ahead and we said, okay, so what's going to be part of the Moravian text for today? And so we saw that today's text was on the story of Zacchaeus. And so we thought, well, that would be a really fun story, because I'm sure, kids, have you guys heard the song about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a little man, and a wee man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the... Good job. That was awesome.
Wow. You guys, holy moly. Give your parents a hand. You guys have gone to church once or twice in your life.
That's right. So we're going to talk about Zacchaeus today.
Yeah, it's such a great story. And if you have a Bible, we invite you to join us. It's going to be in Luke chapter 19. And we're going to just look at a few verses. If you don't own a Bible, there's a Bible in the seat racks in front of you. Feel free to take that home if you don't own one. That's our gift to you. So as we look into the story today, we're going to see that there is a swap that happens. A swap, which makes me wonder, can we play a game with that idea in mind? So for just a moment, if you came with a friend or a family member, or if you came with a parent or a child, take a moment and ask each other the question, if you could swap places with anyone in the world, who would you swap places with, and a short why? Ready, set, go. Turn to your partner. If you came by yourself, think in your mind, who would I switch places with? Who would you switch places with, and why? Okay, if you haven't switched, switch. Now it's the other person's turn. Who would you switch places with, and why? Okay, it's getting quiet. Okay, let's change the question. Now, who would you not want to switch places with, and why? Who would you not want to switch places with, and why?
That's a good one.
You guys are good at this. So, there's a lot of people in this world that we don't want to switch places with, and there's a lot of people in this world that we wouldn't mind switching places with, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that today as we look into the story of Zacchaeus. But before we get into the scripture, let's just set a little context, right? Let's understand what's going on, where we're at, and we're in Jericho.
That's right. And, you know, last time we had the family service, I think it was Kristen was up, and she had this awesome cartoon that was drawn about Kristen's context clues. And so I couldn't remember that. Yeah, so I couldn't help but thinking about that as I was thinking about, wow, there's so many context clues into this story. And so we're going to talk a little bit about those as well. But here we find ourselves. This is what present-day Jericho looks like.
I mean, this is available for vacations, river cruises. This is the destination hotspot right
here.
Yeah.
A matter of fact, I was telling someone this morning, I do not like Jericho. I had a horrible experience. I was almost assaulted in Jericho. And so I like twitch a little bit when we talk about Jericho. I was there a couple of years ago. I've actually been there twice, but a couple years ago I was able to go with Crossroads and my mom was able to come along. And we got to see where the walls came tumbling down, right? Another song. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Jericho. Jericho.
I did not expect
Joshua
this.
Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. That's awesome. Good job, you guys.
Way to go, you guys.
You guys, man, next week, these guys are leading worship.
Yeah, no joke. You guys sound good.
So we're going to look at Jericho, and we're going to talk about Jericho is this place that probably was most famous for known as when the Israelites were coming out of the 40 years in the wilderness, and God had promised them this promised land. And Jericho was the first town that they came to, and they walked around the city, and the walls came tumbling down. And it was actually then an accursed city. And God told the Israelites, don't rebuild this town, because it was a place of like a strategic location of where the roads went through and taxation and everything that would come. And God wanted Israel to trust him that he was going to be their strategic partner. And so he told them, don't rebuild it, but the person who is going to rebuild it, they're going to have their oldest and their youngest son will die. And so we actually do see this happen when King Ahab comes into power in 1 Kings 16. And a man named Hiel comes and rebuilds the city. And guess what happens? His sons die. Very good. And so it's this place down here at the kind of the bottom of the Dead Sea. And what we find in this story is that Jesus and his disciples are coming down through the Jordan River Valley, and they were going to come, and they're going to come through Jericho, and then they were going to make an ascent of 3,500 feet in just a really short period of time up this steep, dangerous road into Jerusalem, where they were going to celebrate the last Passover and right before Jesus is going to lay down his life.
Yeah, so here we are, Jesus and his disciples coming through Jericho, and they meet a man named Zacchaeus. How many of you have heard the story of Zacchaeus before? Any kids in the room hear the story of Zacchaeus before? Yeah, a few of you. Great. We're going to learn a little bit more about it today. Zacchaeus was most known for, maybe you kids can help me out with this. Zacchaeus was most known for what? Being a jerk for taxes. That is one of the things he was known for. You never know what you're going to get when you ask kids to say stuff, you know? That was one of the things he was known for. What else was Zacchaeus known for? Being short. Yes. There is a real thing to being short and all the things that go with that. You know, when I'm not pastoring, I do counseling. And so I was reaching out to some therapy friends and asking them, like, has anybody seen somebody that's got like a struggle with being short? And I just so happened to have somebody send me a video of a therapy session that dates way back to Zacchaeus' time, where he was in the therapist's office dealing with his short problem. Check it out.
Okay, so last weekend, Jesus came to town, and everybody's been talking about him, so I wanted to go see him.
And you're a tax collector?
Okay, well, first of all, chief tax collector is my official title, and I'm very wealthy, so let's just... Okay, I wanted to go and see it, and there's a big crowd gathered around, and everyone's kind of there looking at him, and I couldn't really see, because I'm short, you know? So.
Hey, no, not too short. You are
perfectly sized. Yes, okay. So anyway, I couldn't see, all right? And I climb up in this tree, which I thought was a pretty good idea, honestly. And now everyone's making a thing about it. They're like, Zacchaeus is short. And it's just like going around the whole town.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel sad, I'll be honest with you, but I mean, I think it'll blow over. It's not like this story is going to be written in the most popular book of all time and it'll be remembered for the rest of recorded history. Like, there's no way that's going to happen. People aren't going to remember me as being short. I have other, you know, great qualities, so this is just, you know, bump in the road, but in a month, it'll be, people will have forgotten about it, so.
Let's go ahead and start you on some antidepressants.
Yeah, it's not like him being short will be remembered for the remaining history of the world written in the most popular book. You can imagine for Zacchaeus how probably from heaven, I'm sure, he's going like, really? Of all the things you are most known for being short. Anyways, I thought that was great. Hope you enjoyed that. Zacchaeus, he was short, but also Zacchaeus was a tax collector. So can we just think about for a second, what comes to mind when you think of the word taxes? What do you feel in your body when you think about the IRS? Anna, how does it feel when we get a letter from the IRS in the mail?
I feel like my anxiety goes from like here to here.
Yeah.
Like, it just drops in anxiety. Right. I'm like so excited to
yes,
open.
I can't wait to open this envelope from the IRS. As tax season draws near, how many of you are excited to go see your tax guy? Yeah, right? Some things maybe don't change because in Zacchaeus' day, tax collectors were hated. I'm not sure they're very liked today as well, but they were very hated back in Jesus' day. And one of the main reasons was because they were Jews who worked for the Romans. They were traitors. Now, here's what happened. Rome came in and conquered the Jewish people, and so the Romans were in full control at the time. And in the Roman system, because they didn't know who was rich, they conned or asked or put out a job for Jews who would bid for the amount of money that they think they could bring in from the people in their region. So Zacchaeus puts in a bid and says, I know all the rich people, who all the rich people are in town. I think I can give this certain amount of money. And whoever bids the highest number gets picked to give Rome the most money. And they can collect as much money as they want. And anything over the number that they told the Romans they'd give them, they get to keep for themselves. So you can imagine how Zacchaeus' friends and family feel about him. They hate him because he's a traitor, and it goes after especially the ones that have the most money. So the story's going to tell us that Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man, and if you heard in the video, he clarifies, he says, I am not just a tax collector, I'm the chief tax collector, which means he's the one at the highest rank of tax collectors. And if he's very wealthy, that means he has swindled and extorted the most amount of money from people. And he encouraged those that work under him to do the same for their own personal profit. So you can kind of imagine, like, you know, if you're Zacchaeus, you're lonely because nobody likes you. In fact, everybody hates you. That reminds me of another song.
Let's not sing that one.
He was lonely. He was probably miserable. And if he had any friends, they were all corrupt, just like him. This is who Zacchaeus is. All right? So let's pick up the story. We're in Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, I'll put the words up on the screen and you can read it with me. It says this: Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd, so he ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, come quickly, come down. I must be a guest in your home today.
Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and he took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Cool story. Well, there's a couple of things that we want to just bring our attention to this morning. And the first is that Jesus doesn't intend to stay in Jericho. Well, Kristen's context clues, how do I know that? Well, remember when the Bible was written in its original text that there were no chapters and verses. So when we get to a story, we can't look at it just in itself. It's wise of us to go backwards and see what happened before and what happens after. So if we were to do that in this story and we were to go back to chapter 18, we'll see that Jesus is approaching Jericho. And he sees a blind man who was sitting by the roadside begging. So Jesus is going through Jericho. He's getting close into town. And he sees this beggar who is blind. And he cries out. And Jesus heals him. And then as we read the story, we see that in Luke 19:1, it says that Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, a lot of us, as we have maybe read this story and we've maybe seen pictures like this about Zacchaeus hiding or being in a tree. And Jesus sees him climb in a tree and he comes over and he looks at him. But this isn't what happened. And how do we know this? Well, we know that Zacchaeus went and he ran ahead and he climbed up in a sycamore fig tree. Now, this sycamore fig tree is known for its wide branches and its large leaves. Now, let me ask you, kids, does this look like a fun tree that you would want to climb? Yeah. It would probably be a tree I would let my children climb as well because it's not that far off the ground. But I digress. So if we know about this sycamore fig tree, we know if we understand is that about the Bible, and we understand some about the oral tradition and the oral law, we know that these kinds of trees were not to be allowed to be grown in the city or in the town. And a matter of fact, it was thought that a tree resembled a kind of tent. So if there was anything unholy or unclean that happened under that tent, that anyone in the future that would pass under that dwelling would be seen as being unclean because of that unclean act, even though they may have never even known that that happened. And so they wanted to keep the city then free of trees, and they wanted to have open spaces. And we know in the Mishnah that it says that a tree may not be grown within a distance of 25 cubits from the town, or 50 cubits if it's a carob or a sycamore tree. And so what kind of tree is this? It's a sycamore tree. So this had to at least have been 75 feet outside of the city. And so we hear in this story that Zacchaeus can't, you know, Jesus is walking through town and he can't make his way in and he just wants to see Jesus. And so he runs ahead and he climbs a tree. Now, both of these things seem like they might be really fun, but for a rich man, these are looked at as despicable acts. A rich man is never to run and never to climb a tree. And so we see here that Zacchaeus runs ahead. He climbs this tree. But he didn't want to be seen. He wanted to see Jesus, but he didn't want Jesus to see him. And so it says that when Jesus came, he looked up at Zacchaeus. So he's on the outskirts of town. He's walked through. He gets to the outskirts, at least 75 feet out. And he sees Zacchaeus, and he calls him by name. Now, if the people that were probably with Jesus were probably begging him to stay in their town, to stay the night. Hey, Jesus, you got like this crazy steep journey. You know, why don't you just stay? We'll make you a nice meal. You can stay in our home and get your energy because you have to go up to Jerusalem and that's going to be a really big hike. And Jesus is like, nope, I'm not staying. I know what's before me. I got to get up. I have to go to Jerusalem. So he goes through the town and he gets to the outskirts and people are probably like, oh man, Jesus, are you sure? And you can imagine then when Jesus sees Zacchaeus and he walks over to him, the people are like, yes, there's Zacchaeus. And I'm sure that they were anticipating Jesus saying something like, hey, Zacchaeus, what'd Colton call him? You jerk of a tax collector guy. Hey, Zacchaeus, you cheat. You scumbag. Like, that's probably what the people were anticipating Jesus interacting with Zacchaeus because he was such a traitor to them and had taken advantage of them. And yet here we see Jesus' great compassion to do the unexpected, and he calls him by name. And do you know what his name means? His name means pure and innocent. Is Zacchaeus pure and innocent? No. But Jesus calls him by name, Zacchaeus. And he says, quick, come down off this tree. And I'm going to be a guest in your home today. Jesus does like a 360, no, 180. That's halfway, right? Yeah. Math is hard. So are words. But he does this 180. And not only this word guest implies coming and staying the night. It's like come and be in our oikos. Zacchaeus, I'm going to come into your home. I'm going to come into your oikos. And I'm going to spend the night with you and your family. And I'm going to bring blessing upon your home while I lodge with you tonight.
Yeah, amazing, right? Jesus sounds like a pretty amazing man to be gentle and compassionate towards a man who doesn't deserve it. And then the story goes on, and remember, he's up in this tree, and Jesus tells him to come down quickly, and what does he do? So Zacchaeus quickly climbs down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Now something happens right here, and I just want to point it out and slow it down for us. There is this great swap that happens right here. And this is the great swap that happens right in front of our eyes. One, Jesus, friend of sinners, which if you go back to Luke 15, many tax collectors followed and listened to Jesus. I love that. So if you're a notorious sinner, if you're not the greatest person, awesome. Jesus is your friend. Jesus, friend of sinners, swaps Zacchaeus's loneliness and miserableness for excitement and joy. Oh, and it gets better because then he goes to his house and he eats with him. And Jesus, I don't know if you noticed this in the scriptures, but Jesus transitions or swaps the people's hatred of Zac for himself. The people are now grumbling at Jesus and no longer at Zacchaeus. And then Jesus stays at his house. And it was a deliberate act of shifting the town's hostility from Zacchaeus to Jesus. Isn't our God so amazing that he takes on our sins, he takes on the hatred that we have, he takes on the hostility of the world on himself, shifts the focus away from us and onto himself. That is our God.
Amen?
That is our God. Meanwhile, remember, the people are all grumbling. They're all unhappy at Jesus and what he's doing. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, listen, I'm going to give you half my wealth. I'm going to give half of it to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, if I've cheated people on their taxes, yeah, I will give them back four times as much. And Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. I just want to point out something I think is fascinating. For many of us human beings, we think we got to go out and do good so that then we can get saved, or that then God will love us. If we go out into the world and if we return half of what we've taken, if we give four times back as much as what we've stole, then God will love us. And that's not what happens here. Before Zacchaeus can go out and make any effort to repay, before any of that, Jesus says, salvation has come to this home. There's good news for all of us today. Before you go out into the world, before you go out and you do any good in your life, before you go out and you make right the things that have been wronged, before any of that, God, right here, already says salvation can be yours today. Amen. And that is good news for all of us. And it's great news for Zacchaeus, because Zacchaeus, when he became a tax collector, he lost his cultural heritage. He was a Jew. And do you think any of the Jews wanted him to be a Jew? No. He had to give up his Jewish culture, his Jewish heritage, to become a tax collector. And Jesus says, you are now, you've shown yourself to be a true son of Abraham. And who is Abraham? The father of the Jews. Jesus reinstates his cultural heritage. And you know, when he chose to be a tax collector, he went against all the religious rites of a Jew, which would be going to the temple and worshiping. And Jesus here says, not only are you now you're once again a true son of Abraham, but no, now you've been saved. He gives him back the religious rites that he had. See, Jesus reinstates, he rebirths, he renews. That is who Jesus is, and he does it right here with Zacchaeus. Now, here's the thing. If you go back to the very beginning of Luke in chapter 4, you can find what Jesus came to earth to do, because Luke 4 tells us what Jesus came to earth and what his mission was. And Jesus' mission in Luke chapter 4 is to proclaim the good news to the poor. We call that proclamation. To proclaim freedom to the prisoners and receive the sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free. We call that justice advocacy. And he came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which is compassion. And we see all of these things, all that Jesus set out to accomplish, we see him accomplishing right here in the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus came and he offered a costly demonstration of unexpected love. See, the heart of proclamation is the good news. He loved Zacchaeus, and it made the world hate him for it. And he still did it. Because that's our God. And right here in this story, Jesus indirectly lifts the oppressive act of the tax system from the town of Jericho. What happens from here? Zacchaeus, a changed man now, he says, oh, I'm going to give back the things that I've cheated people four times as much. And I'm going to give half the stuff I have to the poor. Think about the shift that happens in town just because Jesus stays at the home of Zacchaeus. The oppressiveness of the town is changed. Jesus is really about justice advocacy. And we see that Jesus has compassion for the poor beggar that Anna alluded to on the way into Jericho. He has compassion on that man. He has compassion for this town that's cursed and oppressed, and he has compassion for the rich guy who's oppressing the town. He has compassion on all three. And that is our God who is compassionate on all of us, no matter where we find ourselves, in whatever position we find ourselves, God is compassionate to us.
Yeah, and as we look at maybe just some takeaways from this story, here's my takeaway in this story, is that we know that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for his final Passover, and he knew the call was to go and to lay down his life for you and for me. And so Jesus, what I think is just so fascinating about this story, and as we talked about swapping places, I can't miss this point, and I've never seen it before. But Jesus stops and he calls Zacchaeus out of hiding in a tree, and he's filled with guilt and with shame. And Jesus calls him off the tree. Zacchaeus, come quickly down off that tree, because he knows that soon he will be the one swapping places with Zacchaeus, that he will be nailed to a tree, where he's going to take away the sins of the world, of for your sins and my sins. And he's going to lay down his life on a cursed tree so that you and I can be free, so that you and I can receive salvation, not because of the things we have done, but because what Jesus has already done for you and for me. And so my question for myself today, my question for us here and those watching online, kids, the question for you as well, is that we all kind of have yucky stuff in our life. We all have sinned. And I wonder, maybe you and I also are hiding in a tree. And maybe there's some things that we'd like to have a glimpse of Jesus, but we're afraid of Jesus really seeing us. And maybe today is a day about naming that thing. Like, what is your tree? What are you hiding behind? What do you feel guilty about or shame about? And Jesus is calling your name. Hey, beloved, come off that tree. Come down. I want to actually come and reside in your home. And I want to spend time with you. I want to be with you, and I want to give you an identity that looks a lot like Jesus. And so if you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, it's really simple. It's just responding to the invitation. He's already invited you. And he wants to come into your home, into your heart, into your mind, into our soul. And he wants to allow you freedom. And he wants to love you. And he wants to have compassion on you. And he wants to call you into a place of repentance where we get to change our mind about how we think, and that we can have alignment, that our thoughts can be in aligned to the mind of Christ. And so if that's you today, all you have to do is respond and say, Jesus, I want to respond to the invitation to follow you. I don't even know really what that looks like, but will you just come make your home in my heart and help me to know how to follow you? And if that's you, we'd love to pray with you and to talk to you about what your next step might be, and we can do that after the service.
And celebrate with you, because that's a big step and that's a big decision. And, you know, you might be sitting here and you might be thinking, you know, Zacchaeus, I mean, he was a dirtbag. He was a jerk of a tax collector. He was way bad. And I would be remiss at not acknowledging, whether we realize it or not, but we are just like Zacchaeus. We are all dirtbags. We are all jerks at times, because it's our natural tendency to look out for ourselves, to look out for me, to look out for number one, which is me, and to take whatever we can get away with. That is human nature. That is all of us. And it can be really difficult for us to look beyond ourselves to the needs of others. This is challenging today, because we don't want to acknowledge sometimes how we are out for ourselves And we are when we least realize it. And yet here Zacchaeus presents a model for us. He is an amazing model from Scripture of what repentance looks like. Repentance is easily just seeing it as changing the way we think. Something happened in Zacchaeus' life that he began to think differently. And those who seek Jesus, just like Zacchaeus, in reality, what happens is we are sought and we are seen and we are saved by him. And listen, I don't care how bad you are as a person. I don't care how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how bad of a person you are. No one is beyond Jesus's help. And Zacchaeus is a great example of that. Because Jesus's love is so constant, and it's constantly calling us to repent and to come to him. And accepting his invitation leads to forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And this is for all of us, whether it's accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior or whether it's accepting Jesus that we once again need his help to change the way we think about ourselves, about him, about others. Because I just got to say, like, I would probably be in the crowd and be upset that Zacchaeus is being let in. And I know that I'm not the only one. There are people here that you see dirtbags in our world, and if they came to faith and if Jesus gave them compassion, we'd probably be upset about it and we'd probably grumble. And this is challenging for us here because Jesus loves everyone. He loved the world. And Zacchaeus is a great model of how truly much he loved the world, even the worst of sinners. And that's us in that category. And so what a great opportunity today to pray and to accept the invitation and to remember that God can change a life. You know, oral tradition goes on to tell us about Zacchaeus. And the oral tradition is that Zacchaeus became a companion of Peter and later became the bishop of Caesarea, from notorious chief tax collecting sinner to one of the leaders of the church's movement forward. Isn't that so cool? He actually wasn't known for being short. He was known for being a Jesus follower and moving the church forward. I think that is such an awesome story of transformation.
It's good. Well, should we pray? I invite you to stand as we pray. Let the parents get their wiggles out before they have to let the kids drive them home. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for this story of Zacchaeus. We thank you for your faithfulness to the poor and the rich. We thank you for your faithfulness to the oppressed and the oppressor. We thank you, Jesus, that you are about transformation as we find refuge in the person of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And we thank you, God, that we even see this as Zacchaeus found refuge in the person of Jesus and the transformation happened that, God, you called him into partnering with you and your kingdom. And so I pray for us today, God, wherever we find ourselves, whether we may feel like the blind beggar, we may feel like the townspeople that are just desperate to have relief of oppression, or we're the rich man hiding and full of guilt and shame, wherever we find ourselves, we thank you that you seek us, that you came to seek and save those that are lost. And so, Father, may we just respond to your invitation. May we come to you. May you transform us by the renewing of our mind. And may the places that you call us to, may we go out in your authority and your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good week.